Time is running out for the planet Earth.
It's impervious to all voices.
It's an intriguing sensation.
It's a nuclear device.
Fun, fun, fun!
Yes, that's nice.
Statistically speaking, of course, it's still the safest way to travel.
It belongs to a creature from outer space.
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's very important.
It does not compute.
It's a trap!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to an all-new episode of Geek Shall Inherit. I'm Daniel Pickett.
I'm Jason Lindsay.
And I don't even know... Can we even do an intro? There's so much to talk about right now. Our minds were blown!
I know. This is... We're coming to you. We're recording this, not to let the cat out of the bag, but we're recording this... This week, the day after the announcement,
it's Halloween.
Disney and Star
it's
Wars.
The 31st.
It's Halloween.
So but yesterday was that announcement.
But I can't see. That's the thing. Is like Halloween's my favorite holiday of all time.
Right.
I've almost forgotten today's Halloween because like for the past 24 hours, this has been. I'm still sort of pinching myself. I have run the gamut of emotion on this thing.
Okay.
So I think we should talk about. Let's just kick this show off right away and start with what we're excited about for the first time on the show. I think we can pretty safely say we're both excited about...
It's a joint excitement venture.
The Disney acquisition announcement, acquiring Star Wars.
Yeah, acquiring all of Lucas.
That's Indiana Jones, Star Wars, everything. It's massive. So,
Howard the Duck,
Willow. I mean, when I read that first thing, the press release...
Yeah.
This is how it went. It was almost the stages of death, denial kind of thing.
It's right.
Like, I read the thing and I was like... The first response was, well, there you go. Disney's going to own the whole world any second now. Because they get 4 seconds later, it was, oh, that makes sense. Because, you know, that if it's going to happen, it's... And then as you got further down,
yeah,
and it was almost like a throwaway comment in the press release. It was almost the biggest thing in the press release. You know what I mean? But to me, that's a bigger... historical moment than the acquisition.
The fact that we are going to get
episode 7 and then a movie every 2 years.
Two to three years.
In 3D. They said 2 years.
Okay.
I read it all over the place that it was every 2 years. They're going to do it like Bond, where Bond used to be every 2 years. That's how they did it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that because you never cared about the Bond film. But every 2 years in 3D and whatever. But it's just like, it was such a throwaway thing that I reread it, and the thing is, the first time I saw it, you sent me the press release.
Right. Oh yeah.
And I, of
course, I got it a little early before it broke.
I immediately went to different sites, and they weren't reporting on it.
Yeah.
So I thought I was almost going to write back to you and go, I think you got this. Someone's messing with you. This doesn't seem right because, in other words, I wouldn't have written that had I not seen the bit about new films because I was like, how is this possible? Like he literally is going to step back. And let someone else, do this.
Well, he's retired.
He's retired.
He's given
the
company over to Kathleen Kennedy to run.
Look, we're going to get into some hinky territory here because clearly there are, huge amounts of people that have no problem with anything that Lucas has ever done, that love everything that he's done.
Yep.
There's a new generation of younger people that the new trilogy is their, classic trilogy sort of thing, and they don't like the old ones, whatever.
Right.
There is a bunch of us out there as well that are unhappy with a lot of what he's done. Not necessarily what he's done, but just the time that everything has taken, that it's taken so long to get to DVD, and it's taken so long to do a new Indiana Jones, and it's taken so long to whatever, and the Clone Wars, whatever. And now, that wishful thinking that we've had for so long.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great if... Tarantino could do a Bond film. Wouldn't it be great if whatever, like, this could all happen now?
Well, even what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about an Indiana Jones animated
series.
Indiana
Jones animated, the anime thing, like the Star Wars anime. I mean, they're not only, because of Lucas and because of these films, there are millions of people that have gotten involved with the industry and done things or whatever, but there are also a good chunk of those people that aren't thrilled with the way things have sort of gone in the stories and whatever else.
Yeah.
And now this opens a door, and suddenly, by mid-afternoon, I was getting excited.
Okay, yeah.
Like I was finding myself getting excited about Star Wars again.
Yeah.
Which I haven't been since I don't know when.
And this year especially has sort of felt like kind of a dead year.
Well, I think
as far
I think
as Star Wars,
because the biggest announcements were him retiring,
yeah,
and then putting Kathleen Kennedy in charge of Lucasfilm,
and just sort of Phantom Menace 3D not doing great.
Right.
It did okay.
And nobody mentioned anything about the rest of those 3D.
No, those are really going to drop.
Those aren't going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I called Alex. We were sort of playing phone tag. And so I called Alex Ross, and we immediately started talking about it. And we started talking about the Clone Wars, mm-hmm. the animated series. And again, we could be in the minority about this, what we think of them. I don't think it's a bad show. I just never got into it.
Right. It's hit or miss.
But if you gave me a Star Wars anime series that felt like the early films, or you gave me something that was the adventures between Star Wars and Empire mm-hmm. in an animated way. Now, I can't be the only person that's thinking of this. But obviously, everything up to this point has had to go through George.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you bring in this collective, like very much like a Pixar, where you've got the best of the best, and you're saying, okay, if you could do an animated series, what would it be? And if you could do a live-action series, what would it be? Whatever. Now, the flip side of this, because I've literally been up all night thinking about this, like the flip side of this is we are going to get inundated with Star Wars. Like, Disney is going to be in every home. It's going to be a household thing. If you think it is now, it's going to be 10 times that because of what we could, what I'm saying is all the good stuff, we may have to take a lot of, you know, flotsam and jetsam with it. We have to take a lot of stuff that we don't care about and stuff that's going to get it.
But there's already stuff you don't care about. Like, you don't read the Star Wars comics.
That
doesn't say they're bad or anything.
But I feel like now it might get more unified. You know, like I think eventually all that, the Dark Horse thing is going to expire and it's going to go to Marvel. It's going to go to Disney.
Yeah.
And everything is, I mean, but now somebody was writing something online about a crossover sort of thing with Howard Stark and Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Whether you could do something.
Yeah.
Someone else made a comment about Indiana Jones, saying this could literally mean not only more movies, but a new actor and rebooting the whole thing, which has never even occurred to me. It's never even entered my mind that that would ever happen.
Yeah.
And I can get really uptight about it because I love those movies so much.
Yeah.
But then I can also go, well, they did it with Bond, and we've done it with other franchises where they've
Doctor
done
Who,
things.
You know, things that you love, hold dear.
So there could be more indie. I mean, it just, the possibilities. It reminds me of reading this stuff. You remember how we used to read the stuff back in the day, and he would talk about 12 films?
Yep.
And then it became 9 films?
Yep.
And every kid knew that these 3 were going to be about Luke and his people, and then the next 3 were going to be about before that. But then the 3 after that are going to be about all new. We knew that stuff before Empire came out.
Absolutely.
Because he was talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when they made the announcement for the prequels, we all freaked out thinking, well, this is the start of something. And now, they all were successful. And like I say, a lot of people love them. I don't. They're not my movies. I think if you put, you know, someone else, if you had him as a consultant and had someone else as the writer and director, you would have a whole different kettle of fish. And we never thought we were ever going to get these things because he said repeatedly that they're done. They're over. That's it. I did my thing.
Yep.
And
I want to do other things.
I want to
do
other
smaller
things.
Smaller things.
Smaller things, like Red Tails.
Work on Red Tails.
Right.
Yeah.
That took 20 years. That took over 20 years to make that.
Yes.
I remember reading about that in the Lucasfilm Fan Club magazine in 87 or 88.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I mean, you know, I know people from when I worked at Disney.
Mm.
They've had plans, you know, the Imagineers, for like a Star Wars Land expansion,
like a
to the Disney parks,
full theme park,
for over 10 years.
You mean in conjunction with Lucas?
Yeah. That's just, you know,
I don't know why they couldn't just do an entire theme park.
But they could absolutely do an entire
just
theme
do a
park.
Big Star Wars theme park.
Yes.
I mean,
just like the Harry Potter theme park.
The other thing I find extraordinary about this is that this was literally in an age where you can't sneeze without somebody reporting about it.
Yeah.
This was literally the announcement to knock everyone off their feet.
And they had to talk to a lot of people because all that licensing stuff stays in place.
All that
stuff. So you have to talk to the Hasbros, the sideshows, the, you know.
But I mean, everybody.
Oral-B. I mean, yeah, everyone.
You think about everybody that's involved with it.
There's going
to
be a little press release come out in the next few days.
And
everything's fine. Your thing's fine. But
there wasn't a hint of it. I mean, I don't think anybody thought when he was talking about retiring and putting her in place that was like, well, he's going to sell it to Disney. Like,
right, yeah.
It was the definition of, you know, stealth tactics.
And none of us thought we'd get, you know, 7, 8, and 9.
No.
Until he died and his kids, you know, wanted some more money.
And he's saying that he's got, you know, treatments for 7, 8, and 9, as he has done for a long time, and other, you know, various other materials that he's going to hand over. and they're going to do these things. Like,
but you have to know there's people in that organization, the Disney organization, like the Pixar guys, that are like, you know, I've always wanted to get my mitts on that.
Here's the difference, though, and there are a lot of parallels between Disney and Lucas and what they did, how they built these empires. The difference in the internet age, especially, Disney really does seem to listen to their fan base. Mm-hmm. You know, love them or hate them, you know, they could oversaturate, whatever you want to say, but they do seem to respond when fans say, well, I would love this to come out, and I would love it if you did this, and whatever. Lucas has some kind of contempt for this and sort of what fans tend to want. I guarantee one of the first things we're going to get is going to be the classic films on DVD, like on Blu-ray.
For a limited time, and then it's going to go in that vault.
In that Disney vault.
In that Disney
which
vault.
Which is tough to get into.
Back there with Black Cauldron and...
And Secret of Nim, was that Disney?
No, that was
Disney. Don Bluth.
Yeah.
Sword in the Stone?
Sword in the Stone was Disney.
Wait, what was the one you said?
Black Cauldron.
Black Cauldron. Yeah. That was the one that Tim Burton worked on,
yes.
Right? He did stuff for that. Yeah. So it's like all of a sudden all these possibilities and I'm trying to temper my, you know, excitement here because I feel like they're going to do the right thing and get that Pixar sort of, you know, brain vibe.
They're going to get the right people.
The right people to, you know, to say, you know.
And not just move up like Rick McCollum and all the Lucas sycophants.
Exactly. And say, if you could play in the sandbox, what would you do?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I don't know when we've seen something. You know, I keep saying Bond. Well, not to hammer that you haven't seen or whatever, but it's like, it's interesting in that it's the longest franchise. It's like 50 years of this continuous franchise. Many, many different directors. But recently, like with Pierce Brosnan, especially because when it was, you know, up to Dalton, they sort of, you know, did it within. John Glenn went from, you know, second AD to this and this and whatever, moved up. Since Brosnan, it's sort of become this, hey, would you like to do a Bond film? And it's sort of, they've opened the doors a little bit to now guys like Sam Mendes and Lee Tamahori and people like that and said, what if you did it? And in a very small way, you get to see these guys that kind of go, well, gosh, what I, you know, like Tarantino always said that he would love to do Casino Royale. He wanted to, this is way back.
Yeah.
He wanted to do a gritty, hard-edged Bond film. And Brosnan sort of championed that, and no one listened. So now you've got these possibilities where all these guys that were so influenced by Star Wars, and they're the best of the best, you know, can play in this area. And it's sort of mind-boggling what... I mean, just the announcement itself, the fact that we're getting new Star Wars movies in whatever shape.
And what we wanted, like the ones on the other side of the original trilogy.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And I remember thinking just the other day, you know, just I was looking at the Star Wars Angry Birds stuff that's out in stores now and going, what an interesting choice that they went original trilogy on that.
Mm.
I would not have expected that because that's not what the kids are buying as much.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So the fact that it's, you know, AT-ATs and Death Stars and Stormtroopers, I was just like, how weird to see like a resurgence of original trilogy.
See, I don't know.
Even in that sort of licensing thing.
See, I thought it was sort of, I see vehicles that come out and I feel like it's sort of classic and current sort of. Or
there's no current that I've seen.
So
everything is classic.
No, I'm sorry. What I mean is I see a mixture of like the original trilogy and then the new trilogy sort of stuff.
As far as Hasbro?
Yeah, like vehicles and stuff, kind of.
There's a bit of that, but there's certainly more Clone Wars.
More Clone Wars
and
stuff?
Everything is more Clone Wars based.
Okay.
And you know, they're retiring some of the vintage stuff and design coming up and going back to like the Droid Factory stuff. So we're seeing more of that, of those sort of mixes and stuff.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's just... you know, like you said, that like if I feel like we sort of feel the same way about this. That if I said, look, George Lucas just announced he's decided he's going to write and direct 7, 8, and 9, aren't you excited about that? Mm. I feel like you'd kind of go, yeah, we're probably going to get the same thing that we've gotten. Well, now you go, possibilities are endless.
Yep.
And you feel like they're going to do it the right way.
But the fact that they're saying 2015, I mean, they have to have a script right now. They got to get moving on this.
They've got to be halfway there, I would think,
yeah,
with some of this stuff. Like, they kept this quiet, but this was like, talk about out of the gate. It wasn't like a statement saying, and eventually there'll be new films.
Right, yeah.
It was targeting a date.
Yeah, that's calling the ball.
Yeah, and really saying every couple of years, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because maybe they're kind of going, you know, George, we can do this quicker than you did.
Yeah.
You know, we can get a ton of people on this and really make this stuff go. Because, I mean, I know there were loads of people involved with those prequels, but it really did feel like every time someone moved a piece of paper, they had to check with George Lucas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what was the thing that they put on? I just was asking you about today, this Han Solo dance thing or something.
Oh, the Star Wars Connect game?
I didn't know about this.
Yeah.
But there's like Han Solo like dancing on Bespin
song.
In the carbon freeze chamber.
Yep.
And there's like a Han Solo song or something.
Yep.
I wasn't aware of this, but the thing before and it says, you know, let's not forget, this is the man that signed off on this.
Yeah.
Now, that's funny. It's a statement, and then you see the clip and you go, isn't that funny? But is that true? Like, I mean, did he really have to sign off on something like, did he have to see that and go, I'm okay with that, go ahead?
Yeah.
Because the amount of crap that's out there, it's hard to believe that he signs off on every single thing, right?
Well, I mean, certainly like the video games and stuff, yeah, I mean, that all gets in front of him.
So, as a concept, here's what we're thinking of doing. Han Solo is going to do a dance thing or whatever.
Well, it's just, you know, the thing was with the Kinect, I mean, a lot of that stuff was put together quickly. That's the, you know, the motion controller thing for the Xbox 360.
Uh-huh.
So that's not the full game.
Uh-huh.
You know, you run around with a lightsaber and stuff like that. But in order to beef up the game so it's more than just like 4 hours of play, they added this dance component to it. But that's not the primary game.
Okay.
So...
And you still haven't told me why there's a dance routine in there with Han Solo singing the Han Solo
song.
Because
that's one of the things that Kinect does.
Okay. Well, so he would have had to seen that and said, yes. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yep.
So, not to say we're not going to get things, you know, we're still not going to have the characters cheapened or put in things we don't care about or whatever like they have been, but the core idea of new films...
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I mean, just, you know, because you remember... We were excited when, like, the live-action Ewok things came out.
Well, you know what it was?
We're just like, oh, look at that new live-action Star Wars. And you watch them and went, this isn't for me.
Yes, you would go like, oh, they're still... Because I knew... That was that whole era that was starting to make me sad.
Okay.
No, really, and I truly mean that. I don't mean, like, I'd get up and cry in the morning, but I knew that it was over. I felt like... You know, we've come to the end of this story with these characters.
Yep.
And I felt, even as a, you know, 12, 13-year-old, that we're never going to see these characters again. And then I thought, well, before long, he'll get to the other films. I didn't think it was going to take as long as it did.
Right.
So when he would do, like, the animated series, you know, the droids and the Ewoks and then the Ewok live-action things, it sort of made me sad because it was kind of like, boy, talk about the last sort of vestiges of that classic trilogy that we loved. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
You knew that it was over. Like, you'd start looking at the Sears catalogs and less Star Wars stuff would be in it. Because they dominated for so many years.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's like the He-Man stuff came in and the other stuff, and it was like less and less Star Wars product. But it was, you'd be hopeful about things, and then... I mean, that sort of was with the... I mean, I remember reading in the trades about the prequel announcement.
Mm-hmm.
First reading about Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor and going, oh my God, like, they're really... This is going to be great, you know?
Yeah.
And how excited we got about it, and that first trailer that was spectacular, and no matter how excited we got from that point on, even after we saw episode one, we'd still get excited about the new trailers, and oh, they announced the title of the movie.
Oh, he learned from that mistake.
And every time it was this, it's like the whole Clone Wars thing, like that whole, was it Gendy? Tartovsky?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember that one?
Yep, did the shorts. Yeah,
the two-minute shorts.
About five, yeah.
And they were like, that's better than anything you've... It was almost like someone said, you know, the thing that you talked about so much in the first movies, the Clone Wars that was referenced, you know, if the timeline is going the way you're doing it, we're really not going to see much in the way of the actual Clone Wars.
That's right. It's like doing a, you know, World War II film where all of World War II happens off screen.
Off screen, yeah. And he's kind of like... Oh, I hadn't thought of that. What could we do? Well, you could do these little shorts, which then led to the Clone Wars series, where there's more action and, you know, espionage or whatever was supposed to happen in those Clone Wars in the series, then, and I guarantee he hadn't thought of that. He didn't think of that series when he was making the films.
Right.
It just seemed there's that laziness that kind of creeps into it.
But there's even stuff like in those Clone Wars, which are 2D animated as opposed to the 3D animation we have now. Like, it explains why General Grievous is a coughing robot, you know, which they never make mention of in Episode 3. It's like, why is there an asthmatic robot that we're fighting?
And aren't there things that sort of, there have been characters that sort of crept. Did Boba Fett show up or something?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it just...
Yeah, they introduced that other big bounty hunter
again,
guy.
You're dealing in a universe that...
But we're starting to see that with the other Clone Wars, too, where they're seeding things from the original trilogy, and, like, Grand Moff Tarkin has showed up.
Okay.
Chewbacca's back.
Yeah.
Chewbacca was in Episode 3 also, but,
yeah,
you know, they keep sort of seeding in early stuff to kind of be like, oh, well, hey, can you guys come, too?
Don't forget about this, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's animated series of the adventures of Luke Skywalker between Star Wars and Empire, because that was that time. I keep mentioning on this show and talking about all the great commercials and documentaries and TV things when there wasn't an entire universe that had been created.
Yeah.
It really was still pretty barren. So that time between Star Wars and Empire, like the stuff you see in the Marvel comic, is insane.
Yes.
You know, but it was that, it's that time frame where everyone is intact and we don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So you could have a great animated series. You know, something that Alex brought up that was interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about it. But of course people are doing the natural sort of thing online, talking about what the possibilities are for these future films.
Yeah.
I read one article that's saying, please don't, I'd hate to see Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford trotted out, even in cameos. I think it'd be a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Someone else was saying, why wouldn't you use them? Why wouldn't you pay them big money to come back and do a couple of scenes and have something to connect those films with the ones that they jumped off of? But then Alex said, well, why don't we do the Tron Legacy thing.
That's what I would say, almost like a Tintin.
Yeah, you could do that, or do it live action.
Yep.
But have, you know, Han and Luke and Leia look, because initially when he said it, I thought he meant, let's see them 20 years later.
Yeah.
And let's still do the CG, you know, the mocap thing. And then I was like, well, that might really make people feel awkward, like, you know, because all the other actors are current age. We can't just have them at their ages today.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm saying as if they walked right off of Jedi. So he's saying have Ford, Hamill, and Fisher do the motion capture thing.
Yep.
And look as if they did coming off of Jedi.
Yeah.
That could be really cool.
Totally. I don't know that you could get Harrison Ford back for Star Wars.
I think if you dropped, you know, 20 million and points in his lap or something. Because, I mean, to me, it's like 4 billion for everything.
Yeah.
They're going to make that back in a weekend.
But I think especially if it was voiceover work as opposed to...
Right. Actually having...
Action thing. Get up running around, putting that costume on.
Yeah.
Shooting the blaster. You might have a better chance. I don't know. But yeah, that I think we all kind of started to have that thought. Like, well, how's that going to work? How do we...
Yeah.
You know, how do we
because
do
he,
that?
Because he'd always maintained that 7, 8, and 9... When he used to talk about them, were about a bunch of other characters that had nothing to do with the other trilogies.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that interview with Mark Hamill, did you see that?
No.
Did you hear that? It's like 2004, 2005, he gave an interview, and it's online or something, where he remembers conversations back in 76 talking about this stuff.
Okay.
And Luke is saying to him, how would you feel about coming back, you know, as like an Obi-Wan, a cameo in like that other trilogy?
Yeah.
And Hamill's like... Yeah, sure. When would you need me? He's like, probably like 2011. Like, he sort of had it thought out how long this was going to take and the technology and everything. So Hamill swears they had several conversations about Luke coming back as the older sort of Jedi. I'll bet you Mark Hamill is signing up for 24-hour fitness as we speak after this announcement. He's waiting for the call.
Yeah. But you also, you know, because kind of the unofficial canon that Lucas had said, and he may have recanted on that, but, you know, he was saying, like, the Thrawn series of books, those Timothy Zahn, those three.
Heir to the Empire kind of thing?
Yeah, those were the next, you know, that's what we should think of as the next piece of it.
Well, he said, yeah, take that.
Because I'm not going to do
it. Because I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But now that's going to, I think, going to be kind of wiped, you know, wiped clean.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it really the mind does boggle. I mean, just think about. And the other big announcement, which happened, because this sort of ties it in, I think, a little bit. I think it was announced yesterday, maybe today, but it's like there's so much Star Wars talk, is that Bryan Singer is going to direct the new X-Men film.
Right.
Which makes you kind of, and people immediately get excited about that because they go, well, the first two were so great, and he was a big part of that. That make so, you know, here it is. It's, you know, a year down the road. They're getting closer to all this. Who would you pick to helm the next Star Wars film?
Personally, John Lasseter.
John Lasseter?
Yeah.
Has he done a live action?
No.
He hasn't done a live action, but he could easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that, I guess. I don't know. It's not the first thing that would spring to mind. I would like the, you know, the Pixar guys to somehow be involved with it, but... Yeah. But why Lasseter?
I just think he's got the best sensibility, and he will shepherd it into something that has heart and story first.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of respect for him, and everything I've seen from him is, I think, phenomenal. You know, some of my favorite films.
Yeah, no question. I mean the word that keeps coming up over and over again is Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any of those guys to just come up with a script, or I mean, I wonder if they're going to stick to his outline, whatever his outline is,
right.
Or his treatments or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the mind does boggle. Like it's a huge. It's about as big an announcement as, to me, it's bigger, almost bigger than now because we have hindsight and we know what happened. It's a bigger announcement than him saying he's going to make another trilogy.
Right.
When that announcement finally got made, the world went nuts.
Yeah.
Well, now, because you're able to go, well, that's what we got, now you're more excited by the fact that other people can get a hold of this stuff.
But there's a dark side, too, that I know people are concerned about.
Uh-oh.
The 501st are a little concerned about if they're going to be able to continue, because Disney is very protective of their IP, so they don't know if they're going to be able to keep doing their charity work in costume.
Well, I'm sure they'll be able to work something out. I'm sure that'll...
You don't seem sympathetic. Looking at your face.
They're good people. They do good things.
Yes.
That's great.
I'm just telling you, that was one of
not the top of my concerns about...
I know it's not yours
this
or
entire,
mine.
This entire deal here. There's... To me, it's much bigger than that. It's like Disney is now owning half the universe. You can't get much bigger than what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, having those two empires to control.
Yeah.
You know.
And the other thing that is sort of also big, and we don't know the repercussions of it, is it's not just Star Wars and Indiana Jones. They got... Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah.
They got Skywalker Sound.
Yeah.
They got THX. I mean, that is...
Did they get his house? Where's he going to live?
Skywalker Ranch? He doesn't live on the ranch.
I know.
But I'm sure, yeah. I mean, Skywalker Sound is on the ranch, and then a bunch of that other stuff's at the Presidio.
But what does that mean? Like, he can't come visit anymore? Like, are they going to go, what are you doing?
No, I'm sure he'll be allowed in. But when you think about, you know, Disney now owns Industrial Light and Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean all the Marvel films, their special effects, are going to come out of ILM now? And what does that do to every other effects house that's been their bread and butter?
But this is what I'm saying from the beginning of what we've been talking about. You know, it's all fun and great and everything, but you have to think about this is what, you know, companies like Disney want.
Mm-hmm.
Is to have one, you know, universal thing under one roof where it's one-stop shopping for everything. It's the Walmart of, you know, studios, or, you know, conglomerates, if you want to call it that, where why have to go out to anybody else? Have it all done here.
Yeah. Like,
you know, owning everything. And you're right, it does, you know, it scares a lot of people.
Yeah.
It could be scary. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully there's enough stuff to go around. I don't know.
But I have enough confidence in Disney. Just, you know, we've seen the precedent already where they picked up Pixar and they left it alone. They
mm-hmm.
actually let those guys come in
mm-hmm.
and change stuff about Disney and run things. And the same thing with Marvel, too, you know.
They seem to be hands-off, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They let that exist and haven't forced us into, like, all sorts of crazy stuff. And nothing more crazy than we saw before, you know, when Toy Biz was doing, like, 8-inch Spider-Man and fishing gear and stuff, you know, when they were a part of Marvel. I mean,
right.
Everyone is going to strip mine their property if it's
yeah.
popular.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I mean, that's
I mean, to me, it's bigger than that, though. It's bigger than having crappy... It's like, you know, theme parks and, you know, hotels, Star Wars hotels, and, I mean, you name it. It could be...
I'm in.
You know, the sky's the limit, sort of.
I mean, all for it.
I feel like it'll still be done pretty respectfully, but, I mean... Yeah. You know, it's not like just because Pirates of the Caribbean was a great movie, I think. That first movie.
Yep.
Was a smart script, and it was not what I expected. I did not think it was going to be as good as it was. But the other two, well, three. They did three, didn't they?
They've done four now. Well, they've done three four other total,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't tell you what one plot was from the last. But
one had a big wheel in it.
It's not like, you know, every theme park film that they did after that worked.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or saying, let's do Sorcerer's Apprentice. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's not like it's all going to work. It's if you get the wrong script or the wrong, you know what I mean? So that worries me, too, where, like, they're going to go, let's get it all going.
Yeah.
And you try doing, you know.
But there's things like, too, you know, they did the Haunted Mansion movie with Eddie Murphy. And it was
tanked.
And now they're doing a new Haunted Mansion movie with Guillermo del Toro. So it's like, oh. Okay, well, we'll try again, and let's do it better.
Right. I'm just saying that they take care of certain things, and like I said, they do listen to hardcore fans, I feel.
Yeah.
But they do, you know, when they start making Jungle Book Part 2, you know, the direct-to-DVD stuff, it's just like...
I think that was a lot of the, you know, I think that was a lot of Eisner stuff.
I think that cheapens a lot of...
Big on...
Yeah, but there's still stuff going on. They're still doing direct-to-stuff, and they're doing sequels, and...
They're not doing as much as that.
They're still doing
stuff. There's some of that, but they try and... Now they try and treat each of those, and that was a Lasseter thing. It was like, if we're going to do it, we're going to try and make it feature quality.
I just hope that it doesn't... You know, that squeaky clean sort of image of the parks and the stores and everything, I really hope that Star Wars doesn't get affected by that.
Yeah.
As a thing, you know?
I mean, the Punisher's still running around. I don't see why.
What's that got to do with...
I'm saying they're not cleaning everything up.
No, I know. Making it family friendly. That's the Punisher. It's a little different than Star Wars. Star Wars screams theme parks and characters walking around the parks and things like that.
Right.
You know, and I just you know hope they do leave it alone. They remember what made it so cool.
Yeah.
Back in, you know, the early days, and not, you know, Disney-fy it, sort of, I guess.
So to speak. Yes.
But it's huge news, and I'm cautiously optimistic that we're going to get some amazing stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
And stuff on DVD that we never got.
I hope that's true.
You know, don't you think, though?
I hope so.
Like, wouldn't we get the original
stuff?
They
got to recoup their $4 billion.
I mean, that would, to me, be one of the first things they're going to do.
Yeah.
If they've got people paying attention, they're going to go, what do fans want more than anything?
Yeah.
They want those movies.
Oh, let's sell that.
You know?
And sell it to them all over again.
But it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. New Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
In our lifetime.
Well, we ain't there yet. So, having said that, we do have other things to talk about.
We're not just going to talk about Star Wars for a full hour?
We could.
We've done it for 32 minutes.
Well, there you go. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
We should talk about a few other things.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
You want me to go first?
You go ahead.
Well, I saw over the weekend, I saw Argo.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you loved it.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll get to see it in the theater yet, but I'll see it.
You actually should see it in the theater, I feel like. It may be one of the best period pieces I have ever seen.
Wow.
I mean, the design of it.
Yeah.
I mean, even like the extras and the extra casting, and it's just great. And you know, it's based on a true story.
Yes.
And you know that not everything that happens at the very end is gospel.
Spoilers.
You know, they did heighten it a
spoilers.
Bit.
Spoilers.
I'm not going to say anything else apart
right.
from that. But you know, and I've liked the other Ben Affleck movies that he's done, but seeing this one, I go, I would trust that guy with a Justice League movie.
What?
Yep.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't really have. I guess, you know, I'm sure there are other guys out there I think of before him, but I think he's been very good. What he's done, I've liked his. He's, again, if you had told me this is the guy that was going to do quality stuff, I wouldn't have thought so.
Right.
Because of, you know, what he was back in the day.
Yeah.
And I think he seems like a very. Have you ever seen him on like politically? Not politically incorrect, but Real Time with Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Very smart guy.
He is, yeah, yeah.
Very sharp politically. I mean,
and,
he really
and
knows his
you
stuff.
Always sort of got the sense, both he and Matt Damon were never comfortable being in the pretty boy role. That's not what they wanted to do.
Kind of, yeah.
That's what they got pigeonholed into a lot. But they've both worked very hard.
Right.
To
Damon, I think. Damon's worked harder.
Yeah.
I think. Did you ever see the one he did? Was it called The Informer? The Informant?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
The Soderbergh movie?
Yes.
Everybody hated that movie.
Really?
Yeah, I think I just...
I thought that was a great movie.
I thought it was great.
And very
funny. He was hilarious.
Yeah, he was.
Like, he's really good at comedy.
Yeah.
You know, when he does it, he's great.
But he's been on, like, 30 Rock and stuff, like, doing comedy. Very, very funny.
Yeah, yeah. But I love when he plays
and all
with
the Kimmel
like
stuff,
that,
so. You know, the fake feud with Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay, well, I'll check it out.
I highly recommend Argo to everyone. And you know, there's just the design of it and the camera work and the scenery and stuff. I think seeing it on the big screen was worth it to me.
Okay.
So,
isn't it sad, though, that we have to pick and choose what we see on the big screen
these
days?
Abby and I were talking. We were sitting there like, I don't think I've been in a theater seeing a film since Dark Knight.
Yeah, I mean, we did Frankenweenie a couple weeks ago, but it had been ages since we saw something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's too bad, but it's tougher to get out. It costs a bit more. And honestly, some of these things are out in 3 months on DVD, and I'm not in that big of a hurry to see stuff. I have to really pick and choose. Speaking of things that we've seen, you recommended a documentary to me,
which
I then watched.
Uh-huh.
Not Shut Up, Little Man. I haven't finished that yet.
That was last week.
This is our new feature of documentary recommendations. Yeah, we may not get to it every week, but there was a documentary that you picked called Resurrecting Dead.
Resurrecting Dead.
Yeah.
And it was one of those ones, that, again, like it was, I finished one and Netflix went, hey, you should look at this. And I'm like, well, what is that? And it turns out it was on Roger Ebert's list of the 5 best documentaries of 2011.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of hard to describe, but it's all along the Eastern Seaboard, Boston, Philadelphia, New York. There are these tiles. They're almost plaques. They're plates that are set into the asphalt. And you sort of don't think about them, but most of them say the same thing. It says, Resurrecting Dead. No, it's Toy and Be Idea.
Mm-hmm.
Resurrecting Dead on Jupiter, right? Isn't that what it says?
Yeah, from film 2001.
From 2000, yeah.
And the idea was
Kubrick's 2001.
Kubrick's 2001. There was something in there that...
Resurrecting Dead on Jupiter.
That talked about, you know, when people die on Earth, that the molecules or something could be reassembled and then brought to Jupiter.
Yeah.
And somehow... reincarnated, kind of.
Yeah.
But that's one part of it, which is fascinating enough. But it was, you know, there's one particular character in the documentary that sort of is one of the first people to go, hey, I've been looking, I found these things.
Yeah.
What are they? And they start to sort of pop up. And for 5 or 6 years, he tracks them in different parts of the country.
Yeah, they start showing up in the early 80s. So this is kind of pre-everyone on the internet. So you can't just... go to a search browser and go, hey, what's with Toy and Be Idea?
And he starts to kind of document where these things are. And it kind of grows from there. I don't want to give too much away, but the mystery is what this message is, who is leaving the message, and how on earth they're able to leave this message.
To cut these things into the concrete, no one knows.
And leave them where they're leaving them.
Yeah.
And there's even one like in Brazil that turned up or something,
right? Yeah, there's two other countries now. Yeah.
It was
fascinating. And they sort of follow the suspects.
Yeah.
And there was like a reference to it like in a David Mamet play. And,
right. So was it 4 a.m., the David Mamet play, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
or something?
Yeah.
It's again, don't want to give too much away. When you start to figure out what the mystery is or what the message is and leave that. The one thing I'd say about it, and this isn't giving anything away, is I really wanted... What fascinated me about it was how this was done. To me, it was very much like the crop circle thing.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, they couldn't figure out how the precision got to where it was.
Yeah.
And how these things, and no one was around, and how do you do it without, you know, lights and this and that. These things are being left. And I wanted to know just how embedded in the concrete were these tiles?
They look like they're flush with the concrete.
Where cars could, you know, run over them for months and they wouldn't go anywhere. And they wouldn't move. They
and people
to get
just
weathered.
Walk by them, you know. They're like in crosswalks and stuff. And you just
don't
look at that thing
them.
And go, eh, it's an art project or something. And you just keep walking by.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
But it's been going on for 2 decades.
Yeah.
At least.
And it was very interesting. And I just want to know, I just wanted to have someone in there that says, you know, I don't care, a construction worker. Anybody that says, let me tell you how complicated this would be.
Yeah.
If you had one face that said... I'm going to try to replicate this right now in concrete that's 30 years old and show you how long it would take.
So you and never get caught.
Yeah, and
you're never
get
somewhere caught. Where someone is going, hey, what are you doing?
And then have a sense of like, how the hell is this person doing this?
Yeah.
But we didn't get that, and that bummed me out. Having said that, it's kind of implied that this is incredibly complex to leave these things.
Yeah.
And but more than that, it's just the mystery of who's leaving them and why.
Yeah. And what this message really is and what it means.
Yeah, because I recommend it. It's really
interesting. In addition to the big tiles, there's sort of these subtiles with these even more bizarre messages
and statements about very, very paranoid things that are being said.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
And there's probably some people we know, you know, out there that have these in their city.
Right.
And maybe have walked by them and just gone, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's like there was one that was like, they showed it like 2 feet out from a crosswalk.
Yeah.
Like just across, like how would you do that?
Yeah.
How would you get
and
it in there?
And not get hit by a car? And you know, not a policeman walked by?
I never understood if it was one piece that was being put down or each letter was like a different, you know, tile or something.
It's hard to tell.
You know, because some of them are kind of broken
like they've
up.
Been there. Yeah, a lot of them are cracked and some of them have been repaired and
it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's very cool. All on Netflix streaming, Resurrecting Dead, The Mystery of the Toynbee Idea Tiles.
Toynbee. It's like Toynbee.
Yep.
Toynbee.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Did you happen to see the HBO thing on Hitchcock?
I haven't yet. No, I've got that on my DVR.
It's really interesting.
The Girl?
It's called The Girl.
Yeah,
and it's about the making of the Birds.
Yeah,
mainly the Birds, but also Marnie, which is the one he did after the Birds.
Yeah,
and his relationship with Tippi Hedren. And as most people know, Hitchcock would become infatuated with a lot of his leading ladies.
Like you do.
In very, very strange ways, and he would say and do very, very odd and. let's just say inappropriate things.
Okay.
With Tippi Hedren, though, he really took someone that had never acted and became so enamored of her that he put her in this film and then proceeded to do those inappropriate things and then sort of torture her at the same time. It's very interesting. I don't think it goes nearly deep enough, but Sienna Miller plays Tippi Hedren.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of a mistake. She doesn't look anything like Tippi Hedren. Tries to sound like her here and there, but Toby Jones plays Hitchcock.
Yeah.
And it is. Did you ever see him? You know who Toby Jones is.
Yeah.
Did you ever see
him? He's been
in
some Doctor Who, right?
He did. Which one did he do? Oh yeah, he was the dust guy.
Yeah.
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 He was. He was Zola in Captain America.
That's right. Yep.
He was in Marvin the Mist.
Zola.
He was the guy that worked in the grocery store in the Mist. Yeah. But he played Truman Capote. It's odd because he played Truman Capote in a movie called Infamous.
Yes.
And he was dead on Truman Capote. I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman was fine, but he had nothing on Toby Jones.
Yeah.
Toby Jones.
And they came out
like within
a month
like,
apart.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody talked about Philip Seymour Hoffman, and of course he gets,
it came
he
out gets first.
The Academy Award and everything, but Toby Jones was spectacular.
Yeah.
Well, here he is playing Hitchcock again. And I mean, the voice, the mannerisms, he's not quite... You know, you do never forget that it's a smaller guy playing a big, heavy guy. But he nails it. It is uncanny how much he sounds like Hitchcock.
Yeah.
And then, I think before Christmas, we're getting Anthony Hopkins playing
Hitchcock.
Yeah, have
you seen that
trailer? Yeah, which is great, too.
Yeah.
But you go, well, everyone's going to forget about Toby Jones.
Poor old Toby Jones, man.
But he
this
really...
time he came out first.
He really is something. He is really extraordinary.
He's a great actor.
It's really worth seeing, because... it's so unsettling how he treats her.
Okay.
In this thing, but also that it's sort of on the heels of there's a Blu-ray Hitchcock set coming out.
Yeah.
That has loads of Hitchcock films and extra features and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so tempted to get it, but you will. Whatever you think of Hitchcock, you will change your opinion of him after seeing him portrayed in this feature.
Okay.
And the way he acts, it's very unsettling.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's interesting, though. It's very good. But Toby Jones, you're the shit. Love to have you on the show someday. What else we got?
Well, I mean, there was the announcement that just came the other day about G4. They are rebooting the channel and trying to make it sort of more high-end, is what they're saying, more mature.
Right.
So they have canceled their two longest-running shows, Attack of the Show and X-Play.
Yeah.
And they're going to kind of do a 2-month send-off of them, and then at the first of the year, they're going to change the channel into something, I guess, more like Spike TV. I'm not quite sure what their plans are.
I think it's going to be more sort of lifestyle.
Okay.
You know, like men's lifestyle sort of thing.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. It's been coming for a while. I've heard bits and pieces, and that's unfortunate.
It really is.
I mean, maybe the numbers just weren't there. I don't know, but, you know, that'll just mean that someone else will find more outlets for this stuff.
Like, you know? Us.
Like us.
Like us, doing a podcast
like
talking about all things pop culture.
I mean, it's a good thing we didn't pitch this to G4.
Oh, right.
You know?
I don't know. We could be on a lifestyle channel. Look at us.
That's true. What's it going to be called, though?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
GQ?
Yes.
Instead of G4?
From G4 to GQ.
Did you get that joke?
I did.
You like that?
I did. I like that a lot.
You love music.
I do.
I know.
It's true.
I know you're a metalhead as well.
Well, that is true.
Big, big metal fan. Led Zeppelin.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him? They were a little band that did a little... They did all right in the 70s. The surviving members and John Bonham's son, Jason Bonham, who I worked with on Supergroup, who couldn't be a nicer fella, they got together back in 2007 for a special concert at the... I think it was the Royal Albert Hall, I think.
Yeah.
And it never came out. And everyone's like, why wouldn't you put this thing out? And it's taken a while because they take so long to make any decisions.
Yes.
But it is now coming out on DVD. It's called Celebration Day.
Oh, okay.
It's coming out on CD and DVD.
Yes.
And what little that I've seen, because there were a few clips that were on YouTube when the concert happened and they got pulled down, it's amazing. It's just like... Yeah, Robert Plant isn't hitting the same notes that he used to hit.
Yeah.
They're altering the songs a bit, but they still are sort of on fire.
And yeah, I've got a couple of press releases about that from those guys.
Well, yeah, they're supposed to have been out in a couple of theaters, I think.
Yeah,
there was supposed to be a theatrical run.
First. Yep.
But I'm very excited about that because I love those guys, and I'm very curious to see the concert. Because it literally, the only way anybody could go to the show, they had to win the lottery to get tickets for this thing. And the Stones are touring too. They've just made an announcement.
I'm wondering if at any time in that concert, between songs, someone yelled out "Stairway."
Oh, are you kidding me? Of course, of course they did.
Stairway.
Don't you yell that at every concert?
Yes, you do.
I mean, but
Sade, yell it at there.
She gets it all the time.
Yep, yep.
So that's a big deal. That's pretty cool. I'm very excited.
Are you
going to
go
that.
See the Stones touring?
I think the average ticket is like $300
gulp
for just a decent seat,
right?
You know, I mean, imagine what the good seats are going for.
Yeah,
it's kind of ridiculous.
That is preposterous.
I think they're only going to do a handful of dates. There's some footage that went on online from a warm up gig they did in Paris. They're playing. It's doing it really very cool. They're playing like little clubs,
right?
Unannounced.
Yes,
they're calling it like, you know, the Pretzel Heads or whatever, and people are showing up, and they're the Stones.
Yeah.
And, man.
That's a welcome surprise for a lot of people, I would imagine.
Mick was up there jumping around just like he did 40 years ago.
He's got the moves like Jagger.
Still got the moves. I'd love to see them just once, but if I never see them, I feel like they sort of... But having said that, they've got two new songs on a new hits compilation. And the first one that has come out, there's a video that's gone up, and it's great. It's really energetic, and
really?
I cannot think of the name of it. Oh, man. It's really good, though. It's like the Stones with some bite for the first time in a long, long time. It's a good tune.
Huh.
So they might be recording again soon, too. But,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. There's some interesting things happening.
That's true. I got one other thing that I'm really loving is they, last week, as part of He-Man's 30th anniversary, they have released a new game, a new iPhone app called He-Man, the Most Powerful Man in the Universe. That's right. It's done by a company called Glitch Tech and published through Chilingo.
But one time we did this, I got the impression that you weren't a big He-Man guy. Because on the collect, you say like, I don't really care about it. I mean, I wasn't really a He-Man
fan. I'm saying I wasn't a fan as a kid.
But you're a fan now.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'm saying, you know, I got the game, and it's incredibly fun, and it is pure vintage He-Man.
So vintage 80s type everything?
Yeah, it's very stylized. The graphics are dynamite. It's a fun side-scrolling game, but, you know, you're fighting Trapjaw, you're fighting Skeletor, you're fighting Hordak, you're fighting Merman, fighting Horde Troopers, so, I mean, it's... Yeah, and it's only 99 cents.
What?
And you get to, you know, there's things you can upgrade to where you can do like the Thunder Punch, which is a great throwback to
'80s He-Man.
I know you have. But it's really, really fun. So if you got an iDevice, either an iPhone, an iTouch, or an iPad, spend the 99 cents and you'll
play He-Man.
Yeah, you'll have a ton of fun. It's a great game. It's currently my favorite game on my iPhone.
I just had a voiceover audition yesterday for a Deadpool video game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
I would think they'd be further along with that.
It's really interesting because they're it seems as if within the script they're really playing with the genre of the game.
Yeah.
And different things are happening in the game and so on. The script is great. It's very, very funny. So it's really interesting the way he's kind of messing with things within the game and the style of animation changes and things like that.
Well, that's very much in the style of the comic now, too. They
yes.
do a lot of that. So.
Yeah. That's interesting. What's this new iTunes? Did we get another review or something?
We did get another review, yes.
Yes?
Yes.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
I don't know
I'll
how to access those things.
I was just pulling it up here.
Really?
It's from Doctor Whodunit.
What?
Yes.
I know him.
No, you don't.
Is he the 10th Doctor Whodunit?
Yes.
All right.
It says, Daniel and Jason have reinvented broadcasting with their wry, eccentric look at all things geek culture. From the recipe for grandma's favorite biscuit gravy to the gentleman's guide to hat pooping, no stone is left unturned in seeking out the hidden gems of pop and the community that surrounds it. The time spent with Jason and Daniel goes by so quickly that that hours seem like minutes, and before you know it, you're left adrift with an entire week of agonized walking and waiting until the next dose of boisterous bickering, tantalizing tomfoolery, and John Carter. Do not be ashamed to admit that you're a junkie and GSI is your sweet, sweet fix. If you give these lads a listen, you will not be disappointed unless you're boring. You like boring, drying nonsense, like a room with a view, because this is fun, son.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's could be the best yet.
You think?
That's an amazing review. Are you kidding me? That should be our mascot, Dr. Whodunit.
Yes.
Wow, that's impressive. I'm very, very touched.
That's a fun one.
That's great. I just want to say one thing.
Yes.
I don't remember talking about hat pooping. Or the biscuit gravy recipe.
Well, you did give out a recipe last week, though.
I did. but I don't remember talking about hat pooping.
No,
did
I? And you may not have.
I don't think that's my thing.
No.
Hat
pooping is a kind of a running gag on AFI, so I think that's where that came from.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm not hip to that.
You're not.
That is
you don't get out.
That is a brilliant review.
I know.
What a great... Thank you so much. That's really touching to hear that and know that... You know, we're not just talking to the walls here.
Yes, that's right.
People are actually listening. That's great. Thank you so much.
One other announcement, something I talked about earlier. I was excited about the Lego Lord of the Rings game.
Yes.
It's been pushed.
Oh, no!
On console.
What are you going to do?
It's out now for the handheld, the DSs of the world and things like that.
I know how much you like the handheld.
What? But the rest for console is now pushed to 11/13.
Oh, so. No.
But
it's pushed a whole year.
No, 11. No, 11th.
I thought you meant November
2013.
11.
No.
That's pushed. By how much is
just
it pushed?
Just a little bit. It slid a little
like
bit.
Like a day?
It was supposed to be out yesterday.
Oh, for crying out loud.
What?
I'm not going to weep
Look,
for you.
Look, Abby and I worked really
Argentina.
Hard this past weekend, and we finished Lego Batman 2 with 100% completion in anticipation of this, and now we're having to wait.
Well, I clearly Lego doesn't know who they're dealing with.
That is true.
They should have. No one said, wait a minute, Pickett finished the other... Oh, I wouldn't have had him finish.
As soon as we're done, we're going to write a strongly worded letter.
No,
that's
you
what
should.
I'm doing today.
Send a letter. They'll appreciate that.
And then the other thing I think people should check out, because after I finished Lego and Batman, there was nothing left to do. So I checked out the Walking Dead video game.
Yeah.
Right now it's downloadable content where you actually buy it in chapters.
Uh-huh.
Four of the five chapters are out right now. But then they're also going to release it as a shiny disc, the whole thing together, before Christmas. So, but it's really good. It's really well done. And
okay.
It's done in a really interesting comic book style. So it's 3D, but it's got sort of this 2D-ness to it.
Yeah.
And a great storyline. It takes place right at the beginning of Walking Dead, right as the infection is sort of taking hold.
If you know something about the character, which I'm sure you do, don't say it. But
he's dead.
That newest episode of Geek Show Inherit, the newest episode of Walking Dead.
Yes.
That ending
with the governor. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I sat there and I was like, oh man. Oh no. My wife was upstairs. She said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, no, sorry, just reacting to the show.
Took a dark turn.
Just took a weird dark turn, freaking me out." That was really impressive.
Yeah.
Just with just that final 30 seconds or whatever, yep, how effective that was.
Yep.
I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah,
it's very, very nice. I hope that it's not going to be, you know how great Battlestar Galactica was?
Mm-hmm.
But man, it got to a point where you're like, I wish somebody would laugh, tell a joke, something. You know, like, is everyone going to die? Is it going to be so bleak that there's no hope from week to week?
Right.
Because it's really getting to a very, very dark place.
Yes.
There's not a lot, because it looks nice on the surface.
Yeah.
You know, this area and this little town and everything. But obviously there's something very dark and sinister going on.
There's some darkness, yes.
Yeah, but it was very, very creepy and scary. So, yeah, there you go.
One other thing I want to mention real quick, just because it's timely.
You
and
said
I want
one
people,
other thing I want to mention
I know, but
three
you're
times
trying to wrap me up.
So this is the
I'm
third
not
thing
yet
you want to mention.
Jonathan Coulton is doing some winter tour dates.
Right.
He's calling it his Christmas Miracle Tour. And he's doing some dates in some
funny
cities
guy, that
he doesn't always go to. So you can check his website, jonathancoulton.com. He's coming to Los Angeles.
What?
On November 24th.
Are you going?
I am. I already have my tickets.
Fantastic.
So he's in L.A., San Diego, Salt Lake, Denver, my hometown of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Austin, Houston, Dallas, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte, Orlando, and St. Petersburg. So if you live close to any of those towns, buy tickets. You'll be glad you did. This is supporting his new...
Do you work for the guy?
Yeah, I do.
Jesus.
It's supporting his artificial heart, so it's his first, you know, tour with a full band and
right
stuff. So,
where's he playing in L.A.?
He's playing at the... why can't I think of it all of a sudden?
You should find out before you leave the house.
No, I do know. It's the... Because I've never been to this venue.
Is it in Hollywood?
It's
the Palladium?
No.
John Anson
Why
Ford?
Why did I just turn this off? If I
amphitheater?
Just clicked on
Universal
this, it
Universal Amphitheater?
Tell me. No, it's not there.
El Rey?
If only it were at the El Rey. I'm going to click on this link. It's going to tell me that it is
Egyptian?
In fact at the... Why is
the
it
Mayan?
Working? Keep riffing. Talk about something you want
the
to
Mayan?
Talk about.
Well,
it's not the
Mayan. Let's
the
see.
Largo. The Largo.
He's playing Largo?
He's playing Largo.
Oh, that's a tiny little... That's going to be fun for you.
Yes.
That is not a... you know, that's not...
They do a lot of comedy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's a nice little little venue.
Yeah.
Eddie Izzard, actually, this week is playing... The Steve Allen Theater Hollywood.
Oh, we didn't talk about Mockingbird Lane. Did you watch that?
I did watch it.
It
was pretty weird. Again, you kind of go, why call it the Munsters?
Yeah.
Just come up with something new. But then it's like, well, then if he comes up with something new and it works, they got to pay, whatever.
Yeah.
So we've owned the Munsters. Let's do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
It's not
going to... enjoyable.
I think that's the last we're going to see of it. I don't think it's... I mean, it's pretty
much...
He was...
Because Eddie was dead. Touring around, like, plugging it, like, on talk shows and stuff. Like, hey, if you want to see more...
Yeah.
Write to your congresspeople.
Yeah, exactly. But he's doing the Steve Allen thing.
Yeah.
He's playing that, like... He's doing five shows in like 3 nights.
Well, he does,
and he's just doing it as warm up for his big tour.
Yeah, I've
just
been to
testing stuff.
I've
out.
Been to one of his test shows before.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, I'm thinking of going.
And it's very funny because you know he'll sort of like, I remember he was doing a bit and he just sort of stopped and went find an ending for that bit. You know
that.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
one went nowhere.
So yeah, and that's really because I've seen him in a big venue.
Yeah.
I've seen him at the Kodak Theater.
Yeah, I saw him at that show.
I've seen one of his test
was it the
shows.
Sexy tour.
I think so, yeah.
The Kodak thing? Yeah, I saw him on that.
Yeah.
I saw him, I've seen him like 3 times.
Yeah.
But I remember him, you know, the big, well, I mean, I remember like him in like the mid-90s and getting DVDs and stuff, or VHS back then. But the big HBO thing he did, that's what really broke him here.
Oh, absolutely. Dressed to Kill.
Fabulous? Dressed to Kill.
Dressed to Kill was the one that really...
Great show.
I will watch that anytime it's on.
Yeah. But that really, that broke him here.
Yes.
He'd been kicking around for a while, and that really did it.
Yeah. Some of the smartest comedy you'll hear.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a bright guy. So that here you go, good stuff.
There
Star
it
Wars,
is.
Star Wars. I'm going to go work on some treatments, some Star
good.
Wars. Treatments.
I would like to see that.
See what
next
come
week,
up with.
So.
I'm bringing that giant rabbit back.
From Jackson. Mo-
Jackson, yeah.
You're bringing Jackson
bringing,
the Green Rabbit.
Yeah, it's going to be his trilogy.
All right, I'm all for that.
Jackson and was it Obi Don Quixote or something? There was like a...
Are you thinking of Hardware Wars?
No, there was like a Don Quixote character that was supposed to be like Obi Wan in that same story with Jackson. Yeah. Total ripoff.
Yeah. Well, that's it, folks. That's a lot to talk about. I mean, I know we were chomping at the bit once that announcement came back. It's like, can we record right now?
Yeah. But, no, it's a big
it's
deal.
One day later, and you'll have had some time to process this when it goes up on Monday.
Talk amongst
yourselves.
You'll
have a couple of days.
Yes.
So I hope everyone had a great Halloween.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you about all things geek next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Shiny. Let's be bad guys.
Secrets of nature's deepest mystery.